curb appeal that lasts. Shop Labor Day Extra Big Deals at Lowe's. For a limited time, get 50% off all Holland pavers. Plus, save $110 on the Ego Power Plus 56-volt, 2.5-amp-hour blower trimmer combo kit. Now just $249. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's. In-store and online. Valid through 9/7. While supplies last. Selection varies by location. Holland pavers offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Rotatoes, we are coming to the end of this arc, and I hope that you have had a great time. I am back again with another message for you, which is to tell you that today you're getting something extra special, which we don't normally do on the public feed, and that is one of our arc barks. If you don't know what an arc bark is where we discuss the current arc, and we discuss the episode that we have just recorded and just done. It is a fun little behind-the-scenes peek about like how we were feeling about the episode, what's gone on, what was happening, what wasn't happening, etc. And it is a true blast, and I had a great time recording with these wonderful people. And so, we recorded a little arc bark, something that you can only exclusively get on the Rotating Heroes Patreon. And you'll get one for every single episode. So if this is fun, and you enjoy this, and you want some more of this, then make sure to check out the Patreon. Okay, cool. Bye, that's enough from me. Take it away, past me. Welcome back to the Rotating Heroes podcast, everybody. My name is Jas William Cartwright, and I am here with the Rotators. Wait, I'm a Rotator. I'm not even the GM. I'm just a Rotator. What am I doing?
No. I'm giving the role back to you. I'm being very magnanimous right now, and I'm giving it back to you, Jasper. Because ultimately, I think I've realized that you're just better than me. I think that's right.
I can't tell you how untrue that statement is. It's incredibly untrue. But Edward Spence and John Mackey, how are you both doing?
So good, so good.
Sad it's over. Yeah.
Yeah. It really is sad that it's over. This was one of my favorite...
So fun.
D&D experiences I've ever had.
I mean, to say D&D, I mean, loosely D&D.
Well, TTRPG. We'll broaden it out.
Yeah.
Adjacent.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll accept that.
Role playing. This is one of my favorite role playing experiences of my life.
Yeah. I wanted to actually jump in straight away with a little treat for you, John Mackey, because I had such a good time role-playing with you. Like, it was genuinely, like, so much fun to just be, like, what does it feel like to get to be the naughty kid at the back of class sat next to John Mackey? You know what I mean? Like, that's genuinely, like, the vibe, and it was just honestly a delight, and I really, really enjoyed it.
I had such a blast, man. You're so fun. This was like I've said it before, I'll say it again. This character and like this podcast is just so much fun to me, because it is so like open and anything goes, and it's just very fun to not have to be super mindful of like keeping in line.
Yeah.
What I love about doing the show is that tangents and
are rewarded
and sometimes are, you didn't know it, but it is going to be the most important part of the thing. I just thought there was so much cool opportunity to explore this whole premise and everything, and I thought it was just so much fun.
I want to sort of jump on this doggy treat, because I think, obviously, this is the first time that we've ever played together, John, but I think one of the things that really took me aback was I think it's very, very difficult to provide as much pathos as you do to a character that is as, and I'm being very kind when I say this, but as fucking dense as Shaddy is.
Dense is 100% the correct word, because I feel like he's not dumb. Yeah.
No.
Do you know what it is? It just takes way longer than the average person for the message to get through to the part of the brain that it needs to. Like, it's like, there's just too much muscle. There's too much mass in the way.
It's interesting because I think that, like, this is kind of like a character philosophy across the board with all of the characters that I play, like in improv and everything. I basically just have to give every character like one thing that I'm always playing. Like there's you can't make it more complicated than that. It has to be like there's one thing that you filter every stimulus through. And for me, it's with Shaddy, it's just like be kind, even like be have a kind mind.
Yeah, that's so nice, man. Yeah.
Like that's kind of it. And so it's like, because he is such a like sort of put upon character from his family and stuff, but he's not that. And so I know that the world that is I'm playing this character in is going to be very scary and hard and pushing me. And so, but in Shaddy's brain, it's like dumb kindness. It's like always assume the best of other people, always do the thing that won't hurt someone, even when someone else is like forcing you to. It's like that's where the like the genesis of him like crying and it becoming the source of his like wild magic surge. It's like that is like the his whole thing is like he is just the kindest guy who has been put into this like blender with these people who have made him wanted him to be a monster so bad, and he's not. And so it's basically just like to what you're saying, Ed, like in every interaction, he is just trying to be good, even when the things are bad. And it's fun.
Man, we really need some more Shaddies in this world.
I know. Shaddy's he's the hero we need, you know?
He's the key, man. I feel like, you know what I mean? Shaddy for president, honestly. Like, do you know what I mean? Just like simple kindness. I feel like it's like honestly when I look at the world I'm like all we need is just some simple kindness. It's not filtered through anything. It's just like, hey, what is the kindest thing that we could do right now?
But honestly, like I and this full credit to Jasper and therefore a doggy treat, but your pitch to me when you brought me on board was I want to do Die Hard, and it's these two brothers. And I think that the decision to pair these two characters together in a very claustrophobic environment, and it's not quite a one location sort of situation that you would usually find in like a play or something like that, but there is that kind of intense, like these two characters can't move away from each other. They are always together. And I feel like the way that I don't know, like it's the Captain America principle with Shaddy, I think. Whereas like you look at Captain America through the MCU and he doesn't really have a character arc. Like he doesn't change because he doesn't need to. Like he's a fundamentally good person. And it's the Superman thing as well. Like Superman doesn't need to have a character arc because Superman's the best there is. Like Superman is the best version of what humanity looks like.
Or at least trying to be, you know what I mean? Like, at least, like, he's, like, the endeavor is to be, you know, just good. Like, you know what I mean? That is the only thing.
Which I think makes such a lovely dichotomy between the two brothers, because I think
Yernal's an arsehole.
Yeah, no, genuinely. And
I mean, he kind of is, honestly, like, you know.
But I think, like, in a similar way to how I feel, John, you so expertly create this character that doesn't really have an arc, but there is such like intent behind him, and there is such like genuine humility and so much to latch onto with that character. I think in the same way, like Jasper, like Yernal has this very tumultuous character arc through the entire thing, that the two of you like you utterly facilitate one another's journey so that by the end, like the culmination of all of that, seeing the two of you perform off one another and yes, and one another at every single turn. I don't know. It was just like such a joy to have a front row seat for, and then to know, God, our audience gets to like experience this in like a couple of weeks' time. Just such a dream. So yeah, genuinely, like the two of your relationship, both on and off mic, just really, I don't know, for me, like made this arc, like genuinely.
No, I appreciate that, and I feel like it's one of the things that I don't think that I will ever get over, and one of the reasons why I love, it's one of the reasons actually why I love directing, is that I get a very similar feeling when I see people play in my world. It's so incredible to see someone take my work and like enrich it and make it better. Like, you must feel this, John, when you've like directed stuff before, where it's like when you watch someone, you're staring at the monitor and they're just cooking and you're like, oh, like this is like, it's just like, it's so much better than like me nailing a take or me doing something, you know what I mean? It's just like the feeling of like they are taking this thing, this direction that I've given them, this words that maybe I've given them or someone else has given them or whatever, and they're sort of internalizing all of that and like pushing it back out in just the most beautiful way, you know, whether that's funny or scary or, you know, sad, whatever it is. It's just like one of the most satisfying things, and I absolutely give props to both of you for giving me that treat of just like sitting back and watching both of you just cook, you know, in this world that I've made. Was just like, oh man, what a lovely position that I am. Like, what a privileged position to be in where I get to do this with such excellent storytellers, like genuinely.
Well, and the cool thing to me, and I think this is one of the reasons that like sort of TTRPGs and D&D has kind of found such a like a big sort of spot in my heart these days, is that I always have kind of looked at myself as like a collaborator first, like even as like a director, mm-hmm. I'm never the boss. I might like make decisions. I might like be the one who's ultimately making like the final call on something, but I am always like taking what other people are giving me, then adding my sauce to it, and then letting someone else add more sauce until we have this like this incredible thing that would have never been what it is without the fingerprints of every person who's involved.
So
being,
much sauce
being in it. Yeah, it's covered so in sauce. but like what I love about TTRPGs and like D&D and specifically this arc, what it felt like in playing with in this particular arc was, I think that like it felt like a real sort of synergy of like Ed giving us like such a cool place to sort of enter into like a moment, and then us adding to that moment, and then Ed offering new kind of like, ooh, and here's like a new kind of gift that you get to play with, like that the classic moments to me of what made this arc really special are the gifts that we were given. Me getting those handcuffs and that sandwich.
The sandwich, man. Unbelievable.
Where I was just like, I know that I'm going to use this. My thought, can I tell you, want to hear my initial thought when I got the sandwich, when you were like, this is a success?
Please.
Always.
If we had gotten to the end and we hadn't done it, I know we did do a post-credit scene, but I was going to say, hey, Jasper, can we record a post-credit scene? And it was just going to be me eating that sandwich. That was gonna be like the final image in my mind if I didn't use it. But then the opportunity to use it, and it's like a crazy idea, but like, hey, what if I try to use this sandwich to like jam the gears of this thing? This monster. And it's like, but it's like that type of collaboration where it's just like every idea is the best idea. You know what I mean? Like that's like the best improv to me is like when someone offers an idea and everybody else just looks at them and goes, fuck yeah.
Yes, that's so it.
Like,
that's so it.
Like, that's not what any of us thought of until you said it. And now it's the truest thing and the best thing, and we're going to go 1,000% in that direction.
I genuinely want to change the tagline for Rotating Heroes to fuck yes. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I genuinely feel like, because it, like, you're absolutely spot on. Like, you really are spot on. Like, when I think about all of the best moments and all of the most amazing things that have happened And times where like I don't feel like I've hit it, right? Because there's definitely been times on the show that I don't feel like I've landed. I will never share those publicly because I'm way too insecure and I don't want anyone to know that. But like I've definitely had moments where I've been like, I don't know, you know, I wish that had kind of happened like this or this has happened like this, you know. But like when I look at those moments where I'm like, gee, we just like we cooked and we landed on that moment, it's always been when the energy is just like, fuck yes, fuck yes, fuck yes. Like I'm thinking of the end of Arc 2, Ed, right? That final fight sequence, which was just like you guys on this like BFG robot, you know, and you were like, we're gonna, like the robot's gonna throw us at the temple because we need to get there like now. And it was just like, it was throwing you like 300 feet. And it was like, yeah. And it led to like the most spectacular moment and opportunity for then Ember to use her powers. And do you know what I mean? And it was just like this whole thing where I'm just like, you sit there and you go like, you could never, I don't think you could ever do a writer's room for this. You know what I mean? I don't think you would ever get this. And it is like straight up magic. And I was literally doing a Q&A earlier today where someone was like, hey, would you ever adapt something that you've done into a TV? And I'm like, 1,000%, it's all I want to do.
I mean, while we were doing this arc, I was like, dude, this would be such a cool movie.
Yeah, truly. Truly. An unbelievable movie. Yeah. Yeah.
Because we even did like backstory and like exposition about these characters that like, I'm like, we went so much harder on these.
Yeah. All the flashbacks and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, I just thought it was great.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I find as a GM, like, obviously there is always going to be a certain amount of pressure around finales because you want to make sure that, like, you've lined everything up and you're going to land the plane and all that kind of stuff. But once you've got to the finale, like, your job is kind of done because you've given all of the exposition that you can. You've given all of the setup that you can. You've given all of the sandwiches and the handcuffs that you can. And like anything that's left over.
I'm sorry, one real quick. I hate to interrupt you. That sounds like a fucking great weekend is all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Sandwich and a pair of handcuffs? Let's go.
Look, that's all I mean. But like I think as a GM, like you've already given your players all of the tools that they need to land the plane. Like it's on you to make sure that like you're there on the runway to kind of like guide that plane in, but it's not on you to land it. Like everyone's got it. And it's one of the reasons why I find a lot of the time running up to finales, like, you know, there's a little bit of like nerves. You want to make sure that you've provided a good experience for, you know, not only your players, but ultimately we're recording this and you want it to be like a satisfying conclusion that ties everything off thematically and everything like that. And but ultimately, you know, I didn't know what like John you were going to do with that fucking sandwich. I didn't know like what you were going to do with like, but I know that whatever decision that like the players are going to make, it's going to be the most in character thing, and that is the most important thing because it's their story.
Yeah.
Ultimately I'm just there to like yes and whatever choices that you're making.
Yeah. Which is why you giving us each a wish at the end was such a cool choice because I was like, that is the ultimate trust It's like the ultimate trust in players to be like, you're going to use this wish to do something that really works. And I think we, like, ultimately, I was like, the second you said the wish, I was like, I know exactly what Shaddy wants to wish for. I know exactly what it is. It was, I was like, holy shit, Jasper, you're the world you built. Fuck you. It does, that thing doesn't exist anymore. Like, because Shaddy, the character, doesn't want that.
Yeah. And I think, do you know what? I have, like, man, it's so funny because that was such a, like, ripcord moment for me where I was like, what the fuck? And I will tell you why. It was nothing to do with the idea of giving John Mackey a wish or giving anyone a wish inside this thing. The dichotomy of being a Chaos Gremlin player, but also the GM responsible for keeping the shit together from here on in, right, is like, was insane. Like, I've never felt that in a TTRPG ever before, of being like, okay, I can fuck everything up, but if I do, I also have to pick up the pieces. Like, that's never, that's like, that, I don't feel like that's ever happened before.
I Rian Johnsoned you, and you're J.J. Abrams.
Yes, literally. Like, I am J.J. Abrams directing 1 and 3. You know what I mean? Like, that's essentially what happened.
Oh, so I did the best one? Yeah, I said it.
Yeah. You also chose to have Luke drink green milk. So, you know, it swings and roundabouts.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I bought Palpatine back like twice. So I guess it, fuck me, actually.
Man, yeah.
But yeah, no, that was such a brilliant moment. And like, you know, there are not many people that I would trust, Ed, to do what you did with the world, you know, to kind of give you such free, because I really did give you utter free reign. And I told you to make big swings, right? Because I said, I don't see the value of having, and this is where I've got to give props to Zach in the initial instance, which is like, Zach did the same thing for me, where he was like, I don't see the value of having you take over this if you don't take over this. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't get to make and call the shots as you see them. Like, it will never be what it should be if I'm over your shoulder dictating terms, kind of thing. And that was absolutely the same way when I was like, well, if we're going to have the Edward Spence to direct, you know, to GM this thing, then it has to feel like Edward Spence, not Edward Spence via Jasper Cartwright, because that is, you know, inherently worse. You know what I mean? Like, and that's not to say that it wouldn't be a collaboration, or it wouldn't be like, we wouldn't be opened to like kind of working together or whatever. But like, it has to be. We never, I promise you, Father Christmas is never in this arc if I have anything to do with it.
His name was Nick. I don't know what the...
Suck a fat one, Edward Spence. His name was Nick.
I mean, look, I gave you an additional school of magic to play with, so, you know, you can...
Insane, by the way. Like, I can't wait for the Salt Father to get defeated in a couple arcs time by Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, we get there in December and John's like, hey, you know how you said I could pick a couple items? Well, I made some tinsel that can do this. I made a tinsel whip.
A candy cane of smiting.
Yeah, exactly. I'm actually a paladin of Christmas now.
It's, yeah, like, and, you know, I, like, such a huge...
Well, actually, can I jump in just really quickly on the School of Magic thing?
Jesus Christ. Sure. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's your podcast, man. Yeah, sure. Yeah, do it. Like, whatever.
I have been friends with Ed for so long, and the ability to just pull out the depth of sincerity that, unlike anyone else I've ever known, it still catches me off guard, because I will still be like, oh, fuck, I've really upset Ed. Oh, no. Oh, man. Oh, that's tough. No, but I wanted to say, because, like, genuinely, even the justification that you gave for, like, what Christmas magic really is, like, that it's about, like, that it's like love, and it's like a manifestation of like love and joy. It, do you know what I mean? Like, I was like, fuck, that's still like, that's brilliant. Like, that's so, you know what I mean? Like, I was kind of like ready to be like, well, I'm retconning that because we're not gonna have fucking jingle bell spells. But like, actually, it was perfect.
Like, what a cool flavor.
Yeah.
Like, a flavor of a possibility for magic. Like, where it's like, it doesn't have to be like, yeah, like jingle bells and like candy canes and rainbows. Yeah, or not rainbows, like Christmas trees.
But that opens so many doors to me for me, you know, to be like, well, does that mean, because the way I interpreted this, Ed, and like, maybe we'll have to have some like offline chats about this, you know, because you can kind of give me some pointers about like what you were thinking. But like, you know, the way I interpreted it was like, well, maybe there is like things that can manifest between characters now if there's that care, you know, between them. Maybe there is like a thing where in moments of great distress and need, right, you know, characters can call on this other source of magic if that intent is there, right? And what a fucking beautiful gift to be like, you know, as a role-playing thing, to be like, oh, you know, if you land yourself in a moment where you, you know, your players are desperate to achieve a certain goal or whatever it may be, you know, I'm already thinking about Tundra and Ember being reunited, and suddenly, like, the possibilities that that opens up for them as characters having the existence of this magic is, like, absolutely amazing. And huge, like, genuinely huge props for taking what was, like, essentially, like, a joke within a joke within a joke within a joke, and right at the bottom, you found, like, this beautiful beating heart that was, like, sincere and, like, so well delivered. You know what I mean? Like, that's so difficult, dude. like, truly, that's so difficult. Because it was, like, layers deep, this joke. Like, layers deep.
I'll be so real with you. Like, so much of... God, it sounds so pretentious to talk about, like, the work. But, like, so much of, like, the work that I've done over the last couple of years is genuinely just me wanting to explore feelings that I have about the world. I think we've talked about this before, but, like, the reason we play as kids is to understand our exterior and interior world. And at a certain point, we're told that that's childish and we shouldn't do that anymore. But, like, fuck, like, how do we understand the world right now if not through play? And, like, so much of, like, the stories that I've been so blessed with GMing over the last few years, I've basically been wanting to, like, explore a lot of that. Like, Beyond the Brook was about, like, why do we play games? Fourth Age was about, like...
emotional turmoil for your players, you know.
For sure, yeah. But, like, yeah. What happens? Like, can humanity be content with peace? And in Shadows of Gotham, it was, like, wanting to explore, like, the... you know, the inherent hypocrisy of the Blue Lives Matter, like, I'm not even going to deign calling it a movement, but, like, what does like, police corruption look like in modern day America? And in this, like, obviously, and it was literally the day before you were like, yeah, maybe it's like a company buyout thing. And I remember at the time, there was the whole, like, Netflix is buying Warner Brothers, and this whole idea of art becoming homogenized, and how this, like, at the moment, like, politics is all about homogenization, and it's not about diversity, or diversity of voice, diversity.
It's like a reversion to the mean. It's like, what's the middle of everything? Let's go there and stay there. Because it's safe.
Yeah, literally just, like, sucking color out of, like, everything, and this idea of that being personified in black holes and stuff like that. And this idea of, like, what is the antithesis of that? And for me, it was just like, yeah, it's love. And obviously we were doing it around Christmas, and maybe it's like a very naive thing to be like, oh, like, love will save us. But, like, it will, because, like, it's the opposite. It's the opposite of not having empathy.
Well, what it is to me, it's like what I think that, kind of how I read the themes and stuff of what you were working with in this, Ed, was like these, like, big company mergers. What, and like when huge companies that control huge portions of our lives start becoming one company, it's essentially, like you said, Jasper, it's like reverting everyone to the mean, except the mean isn't actually what people want. It's what these billionaires have decided is what we all want.
And what makes them more money, right? It's nothing actually to do with the, yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's almost like forcing us all to sort of to it's corporate community. It's like we are telling you what brings people together. We're creating the thing that will bring people together. And what we were doing in this arc is like kind of going back to like no, like it's not that isn't what community comes from. Like, it isn't what connection comes from. It's not from the things you consume or watch or are told you need. It's your family, it's your friends, it's the people who you care about. It's like your ability to invest in other people and stuff like that, instead of buying into like the idea that billionaires and corporations and the money in this world can dictate what you need. It's like, and I think, so that's like what I thought was really interesting was like, we were kind of like, it felt like what you were saying through this story, and Jasper and I think both picked up on, was this idea that like those things won't save you. The capitalism and like industry and money won't save anyone. It's the only thing that can save you is like looking at the person who's sitting next to you and being like, hey, I love you. I care about you. I want the best for you.
Literally, like, how more perfect than having two brothers that have literally been brainwashed by their corporate parents, right? Into believing that like, what they need to do is like support, you know, is to toe the line for the company. And then it is through this process that they remember actually all that they can rely on is each other, and all that they have is each other. And that gives them great power as well, right? Like relying on each other.
I think the thing that's interesting about the Turlet family to me, the Turlet family.
They're real people now. They're real people now.
It's the thing that is so interesting to me about it is it is very like akin to like this idea that like the ruling class in like in the world is like forcing people to like vote against and fight against their own self-interest. And like that's kind of what I think the Turlet entity does. It's like, and with it is basically saying to like Shadi and Urinal, like what is best for you is to do what we need done. And that's just never the case. You know, like a billionaire is never going to be able to tell you what you need to do. And it's crazy that so many people in this world are like looking to Zuckerberg and Bezos and these like huge billionaires to tell them like how to interact with the world. And that's like, it's just fucked.
But that's because they have, right? Like that's because it's because they've made Amazon so hard for you not to use. They've made social media so hard for you to not be on, because then you'll be behind in your friendship groups and, you know, and they have distanced you from these other sources of like comfort and nourishment and community so that you focus on theirs. And I think it's really interesting because, you know, the more that I feel like I'm going through this very interesting kind of phase of my life now, where for the first time in my life, right, like I feel like I can do stuff, like I can make stuff happen, right? I have resources available to me, and like we're coming up with ideas, and like we have, like we've got a new thing that which we're going to be launching in the next like couple of months, which I'm like, you know, hopefully it's going to be like a really unique and exciting like source of community, which is going to be predicated on the idea of like, hey, you don't need to be on here forever. It just needs to be something, a tool that you use as a part of your like ability to find good art and interact with good art. You know what I mean? Like that, I feel like alone is just like, it's the only thing that kind of comforts me, as I'm like, okay, I'm one dude who doesn't consider himself to be like particularly bright or whatever. Like, so surely there's people out there that are doing actual stuff. You know what I mean? Like, you know, surely someone out there is doing this, but better. I mean, they've got to be, right? But no, it was a really, really beautiful way to kind of bring that in. And it's so interesting that you say that as well, Ed, because I never consciously do these things. I never like, and it's not that I don't mean to, it's just that I get too wrapped up in like the story to kind of think big picture like that. I've never been able to do it very well, to be like, this is like, I'm going to explore X, or I'm going to like, you know, think around the topic and then create a story out of it. It's just never happened. But in every single thing that I create, I look back and I'm like, oh boy, I had some strong opinions about this, didn't I? like literally the most recent world that I've put together in this new show I'm doing called O's and Empires, it's a massive spoiler, so I won't say anything, but Ed, you know what I'm talking about. I have some big opinions about religion, apparently. And I was like, whoa, I did not do that intentionally.
But that's like, I think that's like what's so cool about like all kinds of art, right? Is like, I don't know that, I think when you like make art with a specific intention, like to like say something specific. I think it's really hard to like hit the target. And what is cool about role-playing games in general and what was cool about this arc is I think we started from like such a kernel. Like it's like I don't think we came into this and Ed, you were like, hey guys, we're gonna talk about capitalism and critiques of capitalism, how it homogenizes culture and how all like how you like that wasn't you weren't like saying to me and Jasper like have opinions about this stuff.
No, you just kept telling us it wasn't a Christmas arc. That's all you told us.
And yeah. But then like creating this world where there are obvious things that point to real world analogs that we both do have opinions about, it makes it so you can kind of unconsciously play and you will comment and you will address those themes because it's impossible to not when you're a person who cares about things. You know what I mean? It's like I think we came into this when you initially said the thing about like the like merger between these big companies, it was when Netflix and Warner Brothers was getting announced. And I was like, oh, that's funny. That's like really funny and timely. Mm. But then ultimately at the end of this thing, I'm looking at it and I'm like, damn, we kind of like tore that shit apart.
Yeah.
We kind of like really did kind of like have a lot to say about that, even though at no point did we have a conversation about playing this with like a like moral intention. It was just like, this is the reality. Now you guys play in this reality.
And you know what? To that point as well, like the ending of being on a beach. And by the way, we need to talk about the fact that you invented another planet. I'm not going to touch yet because I don't know. I actually still don't know how I'm going to rectify that situation because it is very, very much three planets in the solar system. So God knows what we're going to do there. But
it's a secret planet that's hidden behind another planet.
It's just kind of there. Maybe it's technically a moon, is what I'm thinking. Anyway,
it could be a moon.
Maybe another galaxy.
Don't you dare, Ed. I have too much work. I have too much work to do as it is.
It's not too late.
I have too much work to do it as it is. I can't be inventing another galaxy. That's too much. But like, how beautiful is it? Honestly, even as like people, right? Kind of feels so apt that like my response at the end of this arc was like, I'm gonna build the thing that is the opposition to the thing that I hate, which is like literally what I've just said now in the last like 10 minutes that I'm planning to do, right? And like you were like, I'm going to find community and friends and like root myself in that so that I can continue to make and do good. And I'm like, we never did that intentionally. That was not at all a conversation that happened at any point. But I was like, this is what Yonel wants to do. Yonel is going to like fight fire with fire. He's going to be like someone who makes the thing, and you were like, I'm going to entrench myself. I'm going to find the people that I hold dearest. And I'm going to, you know, like hold them close. And like from there, good things will happen. That was not a conversation that happened at any point. But I feel like feels very apt, right? For like how literally a conversation that me and you were just having off air, John. Like we literally had that conversation. Like it's such a true feeling.
Well, it's our true feelings. It's like the true feelings. Yeah. It's like the truth of what we want and what we value in response to these like huge, terrible problems in this world.
Yeah, and it's exactly what Ed wants, which is just to hope that there's just another planet out there that we can all fuck off to. Because honestly, I would take that right now. Just another, there's another planet that's just perfectly serviceable, like 10 miles away.
That's mostly just beach, just nice beach.
And like, we can all just go there and leave, you know, all of these fucking psychopaths to ruin Earth. Fine, whatever, I'm out. I'm having a daiquiri on this beach planet.
I think that speaks to what you were saying, John, about, and also what you were saying, Jasper, about like adaptation and stuff, is there is such an implicit trust around a table of creatives, be it virtual or otherwise, when you're telling a story. And I've often likened, when I've tried to explain role-playing games to people who don't play, it's like you're writing your favorite TV show and you have no idea how it's going to end. But between those of you around the table, you're going to make it work.
Yeah.
Because you're all invested, because you're also the actors. And I don't know. I think, like, you know, like you say, a lot of the themes that we were playing with weren't like particularly subtle, but I think just by presenting those to the two of you and like knowing, I mean, certainly knowing you, Jasper, but like John, knowing the way that Jasper had spoken about you, both like as a performer and as a human, and your compassion as both, to know that I would be able to bring those things to the table and just allow you both to run with those was just so immensely freeing. Obviously, you know, at the end of the day, we told 4 episodes of a very fun and silly, yes, you got us, it's definitely a Christmas arc.
Which finished in at the end of January.
Look, but maybe if I'd known that, I wouldn't have lent so hard into the Christmas thing.
Hey, don't you dare, okay? We don't do anything traditionally around here, okay? So that was perfect.
But also, like, that, you know, despite the fact that, yes, it was just kind of like a silly 4-episode arc, like leaning into like the comedy of it all, like genuinely it was very healing, like playing this with the two of you, like, because I think, you know, God knows at the moment we need some fucking levity.
Yeah,
truly. Well, speaking of levity though, I did have a lot of fun getting to tease a little thing for the next arc. Right at the end there with the little Turlet Saltfather team up. That was where I kind of, it was so funny because it came to me, it was basically the second that you wrapped up, Ed, I immediately went into GM mode. Like, I was like immediately like binned Yarnell off in my head and was like, cool, whatever, I'm the GM now. I am the captain now. And it was so funny because I thought about the wish that Yarnell had made and I was like, you dumb motherfucker. Your family can't find you, but I know someone who can.
The moment you messaged her, you were like, Ed, I really want to do something real quick. I was like, oh, I know exactly what you're going to do. And but again, I think that speaks to, this is why I was so comfortable handing over this kind of basically carte blanche option for the both of you and going, yeah, just have a wish. Because I knew that whatever choice you made, it might break the world, but it wouldn't break the narrative because it would all come from character.
And ultimately, that's like the most important thing, right? It's like, and I think that is one of the things when I look at, like a Game of Thrones, right? And I think the reasons why a Game of Thrones, that last season didn't work, right, was because the world, in everyone's opinion, and actually it's the reason why I think there's way too much criticism about the finale of Stranger Things, but I will get into that another time, is because I think there's way too much criticism over the world and actually no one's thinking about the story anymore. And I'm like, guys, what are we doing here? Like, the world is only there to service the story. Like, I couldn't care less if the rules change all over the place if it means that it tells a beautiful and truthful story, you know what I mean? And I think that it's absolutely the right balance to strike with this, to be like, hey, if something in the world breaks, that's fine. Like, breaking things is good. It's beautiful, right? What you can't break is like, what you can't recover from is when you make a choice narratively about your character that just doesn't work. It doesn't sit right. It doesn't resonate properly. You know, and you sit there and go like, what? Like, that's such a betrayal of the character. Like, that's the stuff you can't recover from. There being Christmas magic is eminently recoverable. You know what I mean? I give me 3 episodes in the new arc and I will have a villain who goes out and destroys Christmas magic forever. You know what I mean? I can get rid of that shit lickety split. Like, if I wanted to.
Don't though, Jasper.
But I might.
You won't though. You won't.
But what you can't recover from, though, is, like, Shaddy, like, stabbing Yarnell in the neck and being like, I take his stuff. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, which would suck. But, like, the thing that specifically, the sort of choice to, like, let us dictate, like, the consequences of this with those wishes, the thing that I thought was really cool is that, like, Jasper and... You can cut this out if you haven't talked about it yet, but have you announced what's going to happen on the next arc of the show?
Do you know what, John? Why don't you announce it right now?
You want me to?
I think you should announce it right now.
Whoa, that's crazy. Breaking news, folks. So Jasper reached out to the crew from Arc 1 of this campaign, and we are coming back for the next arc. And I knew that going into this arc. And so what my brain was thinking was Shaddy needs a mission, and Shaddy needs stakes for this next arc. I loved finding out that the Turlets get reprinted because it's such a fucked up rich person bullshit way to remain in power. And it was such a cool thing to reveal in that first arc. But I was like, what does Shaddy want more than anything? He wants his family to stop being able to hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are continuously reprinted every time they die, they're going to continue to hurt people forever. And so for Shaddy, in his mind,
and also, their ability to hurt people is increased because they have no consequences. They can make choices which would have consequence for anyone else, but that doesn't have consequence for them because they can't die.
Yeah. And so for Shaddy, that emotional choice was, I would like to make sure, I will gladly accept the consequences being that I can die in order to make it so that it is possible for someone, even if it is not me, to end what my family has done in this galaxy. And so it's like that was where Shaddy was coming from in that moment. And so it was not even like, it wasn't even, it's a cool choice. Yeah, cool, whatever. But for me, it was like, what's this next arc going to be? And then when I was thinking that, and then you were like, hey, I have a post-credits idea. I was like, of course, Jasper's going to use this moment to sort of set up whatever the second arc is, or what our second arc is for the crew from Arc 1. And when you reintroduced the Sawfather, I was like, wait a second. I'm not that much stronger than I was in the first arc. And this guy sliced me in half in deep space.
And the only reason that I'm still here is because of the thing that I just wished away.
And so I was like, well, that makes the next arc pretty interesting. that I will likely die at the hands of the Salt Father because I did this. But it was like, it was also like this moment where I was just like, oh man, it just makes the next adventure with our crew so much more interesting when like, we know how bad that guy is. We know how big and bad he is. And we know that I made a choice that really fucks me in my matchup against him.
It really does. It really does.
That was the only other thing, Jasper, that you really gave me was this idea of printing and stuff. And again, I think that was in the... In the 24 hours that I had between the pitch and our session, like I did a lot of like reading into like, you know, classic Christmas stories and stuff. And that wasn't a very long task because I love Christmas.
I know. We can tell, Ed.
What?
That was pretty fucking obvious.
But like the whole... you know, so much of like those classic Christmas stories, like It's a Wonderful Life, Christmas Carol, like it's all about looking at alternate versions of your life.
Mm.
And the reprinting conceit was such a perfect conduit for that.
I never even thought of that. That's so true. That's so true. Yeah.
But like, and it was so lovely, like seeing the both of you like explore that and that whole idea that throughout all of that, throughout every version of your life that you'd both experienced, you came back to one another every single time. And I think that idea and that, I guess that certainty, and I guess if there's been any change in Shaddy, I don't want to speak for you, John, but I guess it's that idea, like, that certainty is now, like, that seed has been planted, and it can only grow into, like, the most beautiful tree. And so when, you know, inevitably you do come face-to-face with the Salt Father again, and you have to make that decision whether to stand or flee, that decision is rooted in something so much more certain in a way that I don't know. I don't want to like speak too much, but I think that's what was so lovely about Jasper, you then deciding to like sort of take that moment and that decision and to run with it.
But I'll even go like a step further, like even Shadi's ability to sort of say to Yertle, like, hey, we're going to part ways, right? Like, I don't think that that's something that Shadi at the beginning of the arc is able to do, right? Is to like remove the safety blanket of his brother and be, because I think the whole point, right, of arc one was that Shadi had been like cast out and that he, you know, he didn't want to be cast out. He wanted to be like, not that he liked his family, but it was all he knew.
He wanted to be accepted. He wanted to be accepted and like, and understood, yeah.
Exactly. And so the idea that he would willingly kind of give up, not like permanently, but I think essentially it's like he now knows. He's felt all of these different lives and kind of alternate versions of Shadi and Yernal, and they will always, like, whilst they are on this plane of existence, they will always find their way back to each other. Like, I feel like that gave, like, it feels like it gave him, like, such security to be like, yeah, like, I'm going to go my way, you're going to go your way, but we'll see each other again. Like, that's how this works, right? I've seen this. You know, I've seen this movie play out, and that's, I think that's pretty fucking beautiful. And I love that as well. I love that. Such a great sort of reference as well with the sort of how topical kind of Christmas is. And I think also, like, the new year, like, you know, just the idea of the kind of new year and the way that it makes you feel really, really kind of, like, introspective and, like, what am I doing and what's going on and all of that kind of stuff. Like, again, like, has real kind of thoughts, because I always think I get to the end of a year and I'm like, what life did I live this year, right? Like, I look back on chats in my life and they feel like completely different things, right? Like, I'm like, you know, every time I look back, I'm like, I look at my drama school, then I look back like a couple of years after drama school, and then I look, you know, like, the D&D part of my life has been this completely ridiculous chapter that is so different to every other part of my life. But it almost feels hard to say that was the same life. You know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine my world without D&D or without my son. You know what I mean? Like, they're completely, like, world-changing, seismic things that happen that kind of feel like they almost toss you into a different reality. Because, I mean, they kind of do, right? Like, when you have such monumental things like that.
But I think that love that you speak of, and I think sort of going back to that decision to part ways with his brother, I think that speaks to a very mature form of love. Because I think it's very... I remember talking about this on a panel last year, this whole idea of a lot of the time the love that we see in stories, and often romantic, is usually... before, it's basically the will they, won't they stuff, because that is considered the quote unquote like more exciting stuff and there's more at stake. But I feel that even though it's something that we don't see a lot of in our fiction, the most strong relationships in our lives, like when we're in those relationships, like the happiest we feel, the saddest we feel, the angriest we feel, it's usually not in the lead up to a relationship. It's when we're in those relationships, because there is more to lose and there's more to care about and there's more to love. And I feel like the love that we see the brothers exhibit at the beginning of this story is a very immature love. And I say this like in full knowledge, like we literally the final image we have of them is them beating each other up on a beach. but like at the same time, I think that decision of no, we're going to go our separate ways, but that doesn't mean we love each other any less. I think speaks to a real growth between the two characters and in a really beautiful and honestly, like very, very moving way. And again, just both of you playing it to absolute perfection.
Yeah, man. Well, this has been such a delightful arc, and I think has been, and I hope that it's been the kind of salve for the audience that it has been for us. Like, I just truly, like, such a laugh, like, as well. You know what I mean? Just, like, such a brilliant excuse to get together and have a laugh, and I just couldn't be more thankful to have done it. Couldn't be more thankful to you guys for being a part of the show. It's been brilliant. Well, as has been announced by the wonderful John Mackey, plenty more of John Mackey to come.
Getting all the band back together.
Band's coming back together.
We're all coming back. It's going to be, I don't even know. Look, the way that our first arc ended, I don't even know what the fuck's going to be going on with Ollie.
And I'll be honest, we had a little session zero where we talked through some stuff, and Ollie really is pissed.
Yeah, I don't know.
So there's some stuff to be resolved for sure, and I'm very excited to see where it goes next. But truly, this has been so wonderful. Before we go ahead and get the heck out of here, Edward Spence, where can people find you more and more and more? Because I want people to, because you're the best, and I want everyone to like and enjoy all of your cool stuff.
I mean, you're very biased because we both love each other very much, but you can find me everywhere under my actual professional and legal name, Edward Spence. I realize that I don't have a centralized location where people can find me, so...
Well, you do. I just wouldn't recommend giving out your address online is the problem.
My professional and legal address is...
And here's my national insurance number.
And my account number. I am currently working on putting together a website where people can find all of my stuff. So hopefully you'll find it there. In the meantime, follow me on Blue Sky, follow me on Instagram. Anything that's posted there is generally where you can find my most up-to-date work. If you do want to see both Jasper and myself in something else, you can go to Modiphius's YouTube channel and check out the Fallout panel that we did, because I'm very biased, but our cast knocked it out of the park. What an absolute gem of a panel. But that is it. By the time this comes out, in March the 24th, I believe, you should head over to Wounded Warrior Project, where we will be premiering the second season of our Shadows of Gotham series, our incredible exploration of corruption in America, but through the lens of comics' most depraved and corrupted city, Gotham. So yeah, you should come along and check it out. It's going to be incredible.
Hell yeah. Did you, John Mackey? Tell everyone where they can find you on the internet.
You can find me on the internet at It's John Mackey on all the social medias. You can also listen to my podcast, The Brett DiMaggio with a Buddy. It's very fun. You can also get a podcast from my other sketch improv group, Big Grande, at biggrandewebsite.com. And that's pretty much it. And, you know, just be good to each other. You know, 2026 is the year of being good to each other. That's what I say.
Fuck, I hope so, man. I really genuinely do. Thank you so much, my wonderful cast, for this arc. What a joy. What a ride. If you want to find more of me, you know where to head. You've heard me say it so many times, but it's JW_Cartwright. Please, if you have a minute, go ahead and check out Oaths and Empires. It's my brand new TTRPG actual play series with Luke Dale and Tom McKay. It's a world that I'm extremely proud of.
So good.
Thank you. We just dropped an animated trailer for the first season, and I'm probably going to have to get off this call and show John immediately, because I realized I didn't send it to John. And I want John to see it, because I'm very proud of it.
So good.
John being a fellow filmmaker means that I must seek approval from John wherever possible. I'm genuinely so proud of it. The team has put an immense amount of effort, and to see the world that I've created realized in these ways with this like full animated trailer and so that is just absolutely beyond me, beyond my wildest dreams. And so I feel very, very lucky to be in the position that I am. So a huge thank you to the team at 12 Sided Studios for that. And please don't forget to check out the 12 Sided Studios Patreon as well. It's free and you get the Dodecast on there, which is what I do, which is the show I do with co-founder Chad Pytel, where we talk about how we make shows like Rotating Heroes and Oaths and Empires, etc. So please go and check that out as well. That's probably about it for me. I am going to get off this call and probably feel great for the rest of the evening because I got to chat to these wonderful humans. We'll be back very soon. I will announce this bit as well. We're going to take a little break after this arc. So after this episode, we're going to have a little break on campaign episodes for a couple of weeks. I will, there'll be a post about it explaining how long. But basically, just because we've been going flat out for longer than the show existed in the first place, doing these episodes. And, you know, I want to make sure that the team, we get a chance to, like, get ahead a little bit. Don't worry, there will still be episodes. There will still be an episode at least every week. We've got a Cosmic Council. We've got a Character Creations episode that I did with the wonderful John Mackey that will be going up. I believe we're going to have a Rewritten Heroes episode with the wonderful Erin Keefe as well in there. So loads of fun stuff still coming up and still coming your way. But just a small break from the actual play episodes just to give us a little breather, and also to really make sure that we kick off this next arc with all of the bells and whistles, and everyone is feeling fit and firing and ready to go. So yeah, there'll be a full update on the Patreon very soon. Fear not. Thank you so much for being here and being a part of this community and continuing to support the show. That is about it. So I think the only thing that is left to say is... Yippee-yi-yo!
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfuckers!
Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier-looking skin. CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first Laser Center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.